Good morning. Don't worry, I laugh at myself all the time. Please laugh at me. It's awesome. I find that the best way to cope with things is humor. I promise that's not a cry for help. Awesome. So I was given a scripture this morning, Matthew 7, 1 to 12. And if you've ever read that, it is jam-packed with stuff. And I will just preface this. It's all pretty hard-hitting. And I know that the last couple of sermons have been kind of like, oh, for this people group, for this people group. I might just go out there and say this, that I think that this one is for everybody. Even if you haven't done it, you've probably experienced it. So I'm just going to start with some questions. They're not necessarily hypothetical, but you don't have to answer out loud, so just think about it in your head. Has anybody ever assumed something about you that wasn't true? For me, yes. Has anyone ever commented on your Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media you use, your post, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? That's not true. Where did you get that from? You obviously don't know the whole story. Or has anybody just walked up to you in person and said that to you, and you're like, maybe ask me what happened first? Yeah, it sucks. We're human. We all do it. It's all been done to us, I'm assuming. So that's why I think that this sermon is actually for everyone, not just a specific people group. So you can tune me out if you want, but please don't. So my first point is, I'm just going to jump right into it. It's judge not. So I'm going to read I'm just going to go in sections of scripture here just to make sure I cover it all. But the first section is verses 1 to 6. So it says, judge not that you not be judged. With the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use it, it will be used to measure you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log in your own eye, and you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And verse 6 says, do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So I was listening to some sermons, and I agree with them. I totally think that Jesus is just using some hyperbole so we get it, right? How many times have you maybe unknowingly, maybe knowingly accused somebody of something, and then you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I did that too, right? So I do believe the log in your own eye is definitely hey guys, I'm just gonna be super out there and make something outrageous so you hear me. So as I was listening, preparing for the sermon, I listened to a lot of sermons because I was like, where do I even start with this? This is a lot. There's a lot of information in here because that was only the first section. There's more. And a lot of the preachers and a lot of commentaries and stuff said hey, don't hear that and think that God's telling us to be passive or just sit there and do nothing. But rather, we need to lead others in love to scriptural standards. Oftentimes we can sit back and judge to our own standards, right? I do it, everybody does it, we're human. It's not necessarily what God wants for us though. So verses 3 to 5 are saying with the log and the speck, we can't point the finger either. So what the heck are we supposed to do? We're not supposed to sit back and judge, we're not supposed to point the finger. But how do you tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, right? It's hard. But when we read, judge not that you not be judged, we can skew it to Christians should never judge, but we actually just need to speak the truth in love. If we are to speak the truth in love, we are to speak the truth in love and not judge at the same time. So again, I just was left thinking, what are we supposed to do? So Ed actually encouraged me to look at the Greek word, and I was like, oh yeah, original Greek, duh. And the Greek word for judge in this context, all the times that judge is being used in this scripture, actually means decide. So I'm going to rephrase the judge for you not be judged, blah, 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 to let's not decide for others so that people will not decide for you. Meaning, like, if you're judging people by your scripture, your personal standards, you're kind of deciding what you want for them, what they're supposed to be like, instead of being like, what does Jesus want for them? Anyways, so I was actually talking to Brandon because, like I said, this was a whirlwind of a scripture, and I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. And he told me about this guy. I don't remember where he was. I think it was in person, wasn't it? Yeah, oh, Thailand. And he said that when we hear C-I-D-E words, like suicide, homicide, infanticide, anything else along those lines, we often think of death, right? Yeah. but what about decide? That's a C-I-D-E word. So when we decide for someone else, or when we decide, like decide that you should be wearing a pink shirt today, not a blue one, we put to death who someone is, right? I don't know. I kept thinking about my own life when I was preparing for this. I'm like, whoa, that's true. Like, when I decide for someone and be like, you should be happier today, they're going through something. So if I'm deciding that you should be happy today, I'm putting to death what you're going through. I'm putting to death who you actually are, right? So I actually want to tell you a story about a lady named Christy. She's actually a young adult, and I did get permission to talk about her from her mom, and you'll understand why in a second. So Christy is a 29-year-old who lives on the autism spectrum and is low functioning. So for those who might not know what that means, or to the fullest of what autism actually is, I pulled up the Google definition so I didn't botch it. But it is a condition related to the brain development that impacts a person, how a person perceives and socializes with other, which can oftentimes lead to a lower cognitive age. So Brandon actually and I had the privilege of each working with different individuals who lived on the spectrum, which before coming into ministry, let me tell you, that was the best decision we could have ever made, because it really opened up our eyes to what people could be going through. Even most importantly, because they're probably the ones that don't show up on a Sunday morning. So when I first met Christy, I was working in a coffee shop, and one of her staff brought her to me because they were trying to get me to, they were trying to convince me to work for her, and I was like, I can't do that. Like, never been around anybody with disabilities. I'm not the person for you. Like, nope, can't do it. So they kind of were like, well, what if we bring her to you just for a little meeting? And I was like, guess I can't really say no. She was on vacation, so how could I turn that down? But when I saw her for the first time, I saw someone who was different than me. I saw someone who looked different than me, acted different than me, understood different than me. And basically from that point on, I kind of put her in a box, and I decided that she would never amount to more than what was in front of me. I don't know if any of you guys know about anything about autism, but that was super wrong of me to do. I admitted that to her mom, and she was like, you know what, that's okay. That happens. But I did decide to work with her, and like I said, it was the best decision ever. I learned a lot. She brought me a lot of joy. I think I brought some joy to her too. She laughed a lot, which was good. Because when I first met her, there was no laughing whatsoever. I was like, whoa, what did I get myself into? But a little bit of love went a long way. So in my early months of working with her, we were both frustrated because we didn't know each other. I just had these expectations. Well, you should do this, you should do that, you should be this, you should whatever. And that caused her to be super frustrated. And she couldn't communicate that to me, so it just resulted in a lot of struggles for both of us. And every shift, we have to take her out to go do something. Because who wants to sit in their house all day? If you ask me, I do. But we take her out. We go for coffee, we go to the zoo, whatever it may be, just get out of the house. And on rainy days in the lower mainland, where do you take somebody unless you're just blowing all your money, right? So I would take her to my mom's house, which was about 20 minutes away, and we'd have lunch and watch movies because that was her favorite thing. Eating, treats, and movies. It was her dreamland. So And my mom pointed out the frustration that I was showing towards her, and I was like, oh. She's like, Brielle, if you're frustrated, she's going to be frustrated. I was like, oh, okay. And without even like asking or my mom saying anything from there on, every time I'd bring her over, my mom just modeled this love for this person where I was like, what are you doing? But she modeled like the love that Jesus had for this girl. And I was like, oh, whoa. And I just started to see Christy give that love back. And I was like, whoa, she is capable of more than I thought. But again, I decided who she was from the get-go, and that was very wrong. And from that point on, I kind of was like, whoa, okay, so she is capable of more. This is awesome. So I started to show her that same love. I know that not everybody's had specific interactions like this, because it's a specific one. But I do know that we've all had interactions where it's either somebody has decided for us or we've decided for others. And why I kind of tread, like, I'm trying not to tread lightly, but not too heavy either, because I know that this is probably something for all of us, right? Anyways, so if you need clarification on anything after, please come talk to me instead of assuming. So you see, what I always go back to when I don't really know what to do or how to act, I go back to the Gospels. Because the Gospels are our example, and Jesus is our model. He came to this earth, wrote the Sermon on the Mount, said this is what you should do, and this is what I'm expecting if you're going to call yourself a Christian. He totally modeled how we're supposed to live as Christians. And he did correct others. Like, if you read the Bible stories, there's multiple, I think probably almost in like every chapter, there's something where he goes up to someone and he's like, hey, shouldn't be doing that. Like, or like, think about like the woman at the well. Like, she had 5 husbands or something like that. Correct, sorry if I'm wrong. And he was like, no, this is the right way. I'm the living water, right? He always like corrected somebody when they needed to be, back to scriptural standards. Jesus can, I guess, judge to his standards because, you know. but he always led them back to scriptural standards. This is what I have for you. This is how, as a Christian, like, it's so much better. But, like, this is how you're supposed to live. Brandon's going to talk about the two paths next week. And I think that'll clear some of that stuff up, too. But he never sat back and said, ugh, that tax collector, he's never going to have any friends if he keeps going like that. Like, he's terrible. Or like, oh my gosh, that woman is so awful. She does you know what with you know who. And so, like, you know what I mean? Like, he never did that. He approached them and said, hey, I have something so much greater for you if you'll just give me a second to teach you. So moving on to Matthew 3:3-5. I corrected my notes yesterday and didn't reprint them off. But it says, why do you see the speck in your that is in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own? You hypocrite. Take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly the speck in your brother's. So I don't know if you all were here 2 weeks ago when Joe last spoke before he left on vacation, but he kind of clarified the word hypocrite, and to being, back in that day, it was a pop culture reference of actor, and in that day, actors wore masks. It's like, so Jesus is literally saying, stop being two-faced. You do it too. So approach your own problems first, and then go to your brother and sister. I know that that's not always the case, but it can be. And so going back to the little story that I had about Christy, I set standards for her that were basically way higher than I set for myself. That was, and I mean, the definition, right? Going back to that definition, she didn't understand. How could I have set those expectations for somebody who couldn't understand and not set those expectations for myself? That doesn't even make sense. And I'm just going to go out there and say that, but I think we do that for other people too. somebody who might not understand, but we understand, and yet we're like, what are you doing? And we just have to start from where they're at, right? Bill Johnson once said that when you get down and wash someone's feet, you can discover why they walk the way they do. That was super eye-opening to me. If you spend some time with somebody, you'll get to know why they are the way they are. Did they grow up a different way than you? Do they have different standards? Do they not know God? Like, there's a reason for everything and why people do what they do. So when I started to slow down and love Christy, hopefully the way that Jesus did, I did. I really, really hope that I accomplished that. I started to discover the reasons for her outbursts, her reactions, her everything, her behaviors. But when I got to down to meeting her where she was at and approaching her with love, we actually were able to further her even that much more, which is so incredible. Because again, I don't know if you know anything about autism, but if there's no love and constant help, they're just gonna stay where they're at. And it's super cool. My mom works with her right now, and I had this really cool story come in the other day. And for those of you who know how incredible this is, she actually walked up to my sister and said, "Can I hold the baby, please?" We're like, whoa, no prompting, no nothing. But that was just my sister and my mom and I were all like, whoa, because for her, that was she did something without us telling her to do that. That's incredible. But that's what the love of Jesus does. That's what some patience and grace will do. So I just think that's so cool. But I mean, maybe that's just a personal thing. So we need to use our why filter. Why was she acting that way? Oh, wait, because she didn't understand. Why is this person acting this way? Oh, wait, because they maybe haven't read the Bible. There's always a reason. It's not an excuse, but there's always a reason. The last verse in this 5-6 is verse 6. And it says, "Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw away pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and attack you." So unpacking that, the reality is that some people just don't want to hear it. Some people don't want to hear what God has for them, which is a little heartbreaking, but it's true. So use your discernment. There was a preacher that said that for the portion where it says, "Do not throw your pearls before swine," pigs like the mud. You're not going to change that, right? So he's kind of using that, Jesus is using that example to be like, sometimes there's those sticky people. Don't give up on them. Don't just forever leave them in the mud. But don't fully, waste your time. I don't know. Give it a try. But some people will turn back, trample those pearls, and attack you. I'm sure we've all experienced something like that when you try to do some evangelism or something. So my first point was judge lots. Not judge not. Sorry, you'll see my confusion in a second. My second point is pray lots. I was going for that rhyme. So, sorry. The next section of scripture is Matthew 7, 7 to 11. And I'll read that for you. And it's, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, his son asks for bread, will give him stone? Or asks for fish, and you will give him a serpent? If then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So that first little part there, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. I don't know about you, but I like to look at that verse and be like, oh, yes, God's going to give me everything I want. We often take that out of context, right? I do it. But when I used my skills that were given to me in grade 4 of read around. If you don't know what the word means, look at everything around it and try to figure it out. So I did that with this. Yeah, God's not going to do that. He's not going to give you everything he wants. This is the reality. I know, it sucks. because if we asked for or got everything we asked for, like every single person got every single thing they asked for, our world would be way more chaotic than it is now. And I do not want to imagine what that would be like, because it's already chaos. But yeah, so reading around that verse, we're fallen humans, and so judging is way too easy to do. But when we step back and use our why filter, to step back, when you find yourself thinking, ooh, that person, use your why. Why are you thinking that, right? Like, I do it often, and it actually, I find it very helpful. And we ask for God to give us discernment, wisdom, knowledge, patience, love, understanding. God's going to do that. Like, he might not give us superficial, physical things, but if you ask him for his gifts, his spiritual gifts, I believe that he's going to give those to you, because that's what he made them for, right? For his people to use. Just ask for discernment. God's not going to give you ignorance, stupidity, blindness, inobservativeness, short-sightedness, dullness, density. He's not going to give you that instead. That's what that section of scripture is talking about. Like, if your kid was to ask for bread, you're not going to give him, what did I say it was? Stone. Thank you. I heard you. And then I was like, what? He's not going to do that, right? He's not going to give you the opposite of what he asks for, especially if it's something that you're asking for to further someone else, right? So I just want to read two translations, because I think that Ed read from the Message last week, and I was like, whoa, that's cool. And so I thought I'd give it a look when I was putting together this sermon. And so I'll start with the ESV. The ESV says, If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? And the Message says, I love this wording, as bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. So like, as bad as we are, as human as we are, we would never think, yeah, I'm going to give my kid a stone, put that on his plate, see how he likes it. No, I don't think, well, I mean, if you do, maybe we should talk after. No, I'm just kidding. But we wouldn't do that, not to our own kids. And so, going on, you're at least decent to your own children, so don't you think that the God who conceived you in love will be even better? I like that. It's so cool. Like, sometimes we think, oh, God, are you even listening to me? And then we have to think, like, right, he made me. He's going to take care of me. That's really cool. There's a song called Gyra by Maverick City. It's a little bit newer, so I don't expect anybody to know it. But I think it's the bridge of the song, they sing this part. I'm not going to sing it, but it says, if he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will he clothe you? If he is going to make those flowers over there super beautiful and make sure that they have everything taken care of, how much more is he going to take care of you? Like, you're not a flower. You're a person. He made you. He made that flower too. If he's going to take care of that, he'll take care of you. In the next part it says, if he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? If he's going to take care of all of those birds in the sky, make sure that they have food, that, you know, all of that stuff, he's going to take care of you too, which is so cool. another element to Matthew 7:7-11 is praying and seeking God. The more time you spend with someone, the more you like, or the more you start to become like them, and sometimes even look like them, spouses. Sometimes I like to look around at husbands and wives, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're starting to look alike. Or like, I think I mentioned this in my last sermon, but like, people will point out that Brandon and I talk the same now. It's true. When you spend time with someone, when you spend a significant amount of time with someone, you start to act like them, sometimes look like them. And the same goes for spending time with God. How cool would it be if we spent so much time with God that people would look at us and be like, whoa, what's different? That would be crazy. Sometimes that is true. There's a quote that I listened to or heard this past week, and it's, when the heart is filled with the love of Jesus, the heart looks for the good, right? Like, so if we spend time with Jesus, who is good, we're going to become more like him. So when the heart is filled with the love of Jesus, we look for the good. So we don't need to sit in the corner and be like, oh, that person, or look at all their superficial stuff. We don't. A question that I get from a lot of teenagers, I somehow got roped into being a youth leader for the last, this is now 6 years. I never thought I would do that. but a common question that I get from people who are coming to youth and they're not sure if they believe in what we're teaching yet, they're like, ooh, what is this stuff? Their first question is usually, so if I become a Christian, I have to follow a bunch of rules and stuff? I'm like, well, no. But the more you spend time with Jesus, the more you will become like him. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you will see what God sees in them. You'll love like God. The more time that you spend in with Jesus, the more you will focus on the scriptural standards instead of your own standards, right? So I kind of like say that to them. I'm like, hey, like the more, like, no, there's not rules, but the more that you spend time with God, the more you're intentional, you're going to want to live like that. It's just going to come naturally. And sooner or later, you're going to be like, whoa, I'm a whole different person. That's always so cool. So judge not, pray lots, and love like Jesus. So Matthew 12 is the last section of this scripture. The ESV, I think in any Bible translation, it just says the golden rule. You're like, whoa. and so it says, so whatever you wish to that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And now I want to read the Message translation because it's, I just think it puts it so clearly. Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then grab that initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. So if you take all of the things that Jesus just said we should, shouldn't do, whatever, from the Sermon on the Mount, when he comes down to it, he's just like, be a good person. Do what you'd want others to do to you. You're not going to want somebody sitting in the corner being like, ooh, that person, right? You're gonna want them to approach you with grace. I kind of think that verse just sums it all up. I don't really think there's anything to unpack. So I was thinking, okay, so what would I want others to do to me before judging me, before deciding for me? And so I kind of came down to 3 points. And that would be, know my story. I heard this quote, you haven't faced the attacks from the devil that they have. Yeah. You have no idea what the devil has unleashed on them in their lives. There's a lot of reason, like I said before, for what people, why they do what they do. It's not an excuse, but learning where people come from gives you a whole lot more perspective and allows you to have a whole lot more of that loving like Jesus aspect. Because initially it's like, whoa, 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 I don't want to, like, you're scary. Where it's like, no, they have a story. What is it? Like, I didn't know Christy's story originally. That's why I was so quick to judge. But the more I learned about her, the easier it was for me to show her love and grace. And I like to think that we're really good friends, but now when we sit on the couch, she kind of like scooches away from me. She wrote me a birthday card. And she said, my favorite thing about Brielle is Brandon. And I was like, oh, I feel loved. But she always thinks that boys are cute. But it was so funny, so funny. I mean, that just shows her innocence right there, so I love it. So the first thing would be know my story. The second thing would be correct me according to the Bible. I went through this season of my life where I felt like everybody was telling me what I should and shouldn't do. And then I would go to the people who were closest to me. I'm like, am I doing something wrong? I don't get it. Why do people keep on saying these things? Like, what the heck? And it was because they were judging me from their outsider perspective. So they actually had no, and then when I came to my people that were closest to me and I knew would tell me the truth, because blunt friends are a good thing, whether we like to hear it or not, they're a good thing. And they're like, no, I don't know where they got that from. They must have, like, there must have been something that was said by someone else. So, like, correcting me according to the Bible, I will gladly accept all the time. That's not an open invitation for all you to come at me. But if there was something serious and you're like, bro, we need to talk, I would hear you out. Because I think that that's really important. And the third thing was ask themselves why. So if I would pick a sermon title, I wanted to pick check yourself. But I was like, oh, that doesn't really encompass the whole thing. So I just did the scripture verse. Anyways, I would love for them to ask themselves why they have those thoughts about me. Is it because they have that same thing in their own lives, or what, I don't know why. The really harsh reality is that the church is really known to be the harshest judge. And that really sucks, because it's not true. Well, maybe for some people, like the extremists and whatever, but like, I just wish that some people had a fresh perspective on what church is and who we are. And they'd be like, no, they're the people that love me. But, so that's why I'd say check yourself, check myself before I judge somebody. Because Jesus wanted the exact opposite of judgment from us. He wanted us, when those people come in the front door and they have no idea who we are, what we believe, he just wanted us to love them. The rest will come. He wanted us to love everyone and learn his ways or scriptural, biblical truths. This morning, Brandon decided to add one more thing to my sermon. And that's the story of David and Nathan. I will not dive into all the details, but basically, if you guys know the story about David, he did a bunch of bad things. There's kids in the room, so I'll keep the first part quiet. And then he killed the lady's husband. That's awful. And then his friend Nathan came up to him. Sean, you can play the music. His friend Nathan came up to him and said, "What are you doing?" And then David just, like, I think it was probably hard for him to hear, but he took it, and he's like, you're right, that's not what God has for me. So, let's judge not, pray lots, and love like Jesus. I'm just going to pray, and then you guys can go have lunch or whatever. So, God, we just thank you so much for your harsh words, but we know that you give them to us lightly and with lots of love. And as God, as we go throughout our weeks and in our days, I pray that you would give us some wisdom, knowledge, discernment, lots of love, and lots of patience, God, because there are lots of people around us that just need to hear your word, and they need to know who you are. So God, I just pray that you would give us the ability to just approach everything with grace. Lord, bless these people, bless their families, and be with them through the week. In your name.